News starts right now.
Idalia is the strongest storm to hit this part of Florida, to make landfall in this part of Florida in over 100 years.
I let each governor I spoke with know if there's anything the states need right now, I'm ready to mobilize that support or what they need.
After sunrise, the damage becoming clearer. Remarkably, the storm surge wasn't as brutal as expected here, but the wind was. Idalia is the strongest hurricane to make landfall on the Big Bend in 127 years, tying the unnamed hurricane of 1896, 125 mile per hour winds.
Yeah, and yet it doesn't look like the damage was nearly as bad as we were concerned about. A lot of that, I think, has to do with the fact that it was, you know, rural counties that got hit and, you know, not a lot of buildings, not a lot of people. And as the governor pointed out yesterday, people evacuated. You know, they did what they were supposed to do. So that was great. We had two people die in car crashes before the storm actually hit. So that's horrible for them. But it wasn't really related to the storm other than the fact they were driving in wet conditions. You had one person in Georgia die when a tree fell on their house. But in Florida, no official deaths connected to the storm, which is, we'll take that. The property damage, I mean, some, yes, but not nearly what we saw, you know, last year with Ian. And last 149 people died in Ian. Like, that was a really, really, really bad storm compared to other ones. So that's the good news. But you still have some bad behavior, as the governor talked about yesterday.
There are reports of people trying to loot down in Steinhatchee. And I've told all of our personnel at the state level, you know, you protect people's property, and we are not going to tolerate any looting in the aftermath of a natural disaster. I mean, it's just ridiculous that you would try to do something like that on the heels of an almost Category 4 hurricane hitting this community.
It is absolutely ridiculous. And yet we know that evil people all around the world take advantage of any opportunity to defraud, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to, you know, take advantage of a situation. It's one of those things about human nature that you wish weren't true, but you know that it is over and over and over and over again, whether it's in a city when there's been a a riot, or whether it's in a, you know, after a natural disaster. I mean, it's so funny because, like, so many people are so good. I mean, the vast majority of people are decent people. The vast majority of people can be trusted. If you gave them the key to your house, they'd watch over it for you. The vast majority of strangers, like, you walk up to a random stranger on the street, here's a key to my house, watch over my stuff, got it. Plus 90% of the time. But you know what? They're not the ones you got to worry about. You know, it's the others, right? And, you know, so when we've got, you know, Pensacola is celebrating and sharing this great photo off of the Facebook page that has the picture of the beach ball with all of the, you know, the bucket trucks getting ready to go. And we're like, yeah, that's who we are. And then you're like, yeah, but looters, right? So the governor went on, and this kind of had made the headlines yesterday. I think that it's been a little bit over-described what he said, but here's what he actually did say.
I'd also just remind potential looters that people, you never know what you're walking into. People have a right to defend their property. This part of Florida, you got a lot of advocates and some proponents of the Second Amendment. And I've seen signs in different people's yards in the past after these disasters. And I would say it's probably here. You loot, we shoot. You never know what's behind that door. If you go break into somebody's house and you're trying to loot, these are people that are going to be able to defend themselves and their families. So I would not do it. We are going to hold you accountable from a law enforcement perspective at a minimum, and it could even be worse than that depending on what's behind that door.
So I think what people have heard and reported is that the governor was telling people if they loot, then you can shoot them. He didn't say that. I don't think he would say that because, you know, this is a guy who actually did legal advice for the SEALs. You know, so he knows the law. He's not going to tell you that it's okay to shoot a looter because it is illegal to shoot a looter unless you believe that your life is in jeopardy or the life of somebody else is in jeopardy, right? You can't shoot a burglar. Unless you could put a sign up that says you will do something that's illegal, which is if you will. It's a clever sign, but it's not actually true that you can do that. But still, he's right in this that, you know, look, people sometimes are armed and sometimes they do get scared and sometimes they don't know the law. And the collage of all of that put together means that if you go into somebody's house, you don't know what's behind that door. That's fair warning. And he's right about that. So there's some more from him. I'll get to it in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And watching a flashing light, it looks like at 17th and Cervantes in East Hill. So use caution wherever you are. And I heard Andrew say this, like, this was months ago, but better be safe than be right, because if red has, you have to come to a complete stop. Yellow has right away. Just be careful. And there are plenty of side streets too if you're worried about it. But look for that flashing red light. It's the only thing I'm seeing right now. If you have traffic tips, let us know. Call them in or text them in. 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good advice for broken traffic lights and marriages.
Yeah, that's absolutely 1,000,000% correct.
You can be right, or you can continue to have a happy marriage. Sometimes you do pick. And, you know, you pick wisely.
Yeah.
437-1620.
I finally learned that. Yeah.
That's right.
We haven't had a storm take this path at this level since the 1890s. To hit this part of Florida. So this is something that is a really big deal, and not that you ever want to do, but there's parts of Florida that have had these things happen, and they've built up infrastructure and in response to it. Well, this part of the state hasn't necessarily seen a storm like this in quite some time. So that's just going to present challenges.
And that's kind of what we were talking about yesterday. Remember that some of these places have never seen a big storm, not in a long time. And so they're not built to resilience like we are after having encountered them. Or like, you know, the East Coast of Florida is so built up that same way. And a lot of weird little things that you wouldn't have thought about. I'd certainly, you know, as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's wild. But OK.
Some of these communities in this part of the state have never necessarily been hit with a major hurricane before. And I know there's some in like north central Florida, you know, they may not have a debris removal contract in place, whereas a county like Lee down in southwest Florida, they are going to have that because they know that's something they got to deal with. So some of this stuff, they're going to probably need to lean on the state to be able to help. They're under-resourced counties, and we stand by ready to help them be able to get that done.
Oh, and a side note to that, I was just listening to the We Are Perdido meeting from last week, kind of getting caught up on that. And the guy doing the presentation, he was talking about, you know, how sometimes when you are an incorporated area, you don't quite catch all of the crossing of the T's and dotting of the I's type stuff. And he was saying that Fort Myers Beach was one of the cities that had incorporated under, you know, after he had done an assessment for them. Remember, Fort Myers Beach, it got leveled parts of it, you know, got leveled in Ian. Their contract for debris hauling, they had not a FEMA-approved contractor. So all the money they laid out, $500,000 a day for 2 weeks, $7 million, they're not getting reimbursed. Yeah, so little details can matter a lot, right? Because that's how it works, right? You pay for it, and then, you know, you've got a contract with the hauler, and they come in this catastrophes, and they do their stuff, and you pay them, and then FEMA pays you back 2 decades later. But, you know, you're expecting to get the money back, and they're not going to get the money back. So just kind of interesting and, you know, sort of a frustrating thing. But also, again, the good news here is that people paid attention. They did what they're supposed to do, and it wasn't like Ian.
Well, I can tell you with Hurricane Ian, as soon as that storm hit, within an hour after it hitting, there were frantic phone calls to 911 locally there of people that were literally drowning in their house. And it was something that you just, when I was talking to the sheriff, I remember talking to the sheriff down in Lee County on the phone, just the feeling of dread that those phone calls represented, you knew that there was going to be a lot of problems. We have not seen that in the same way on this storm.
Oh, can you? I still, that was just such an atrocious storm for those folks. Just awful, and glad to not have to deal with that this time around, because apparently people evacuated.
We obviously had really significant storm surge in both Cedar Key and Steinhatchee.
Can I tell you, it's just, it weirdly makes me happy that I wasn't the only one who didn't know how to pronounce that, that I was pronouncing it wrong, too. So the governor, even of the great state of Florida, had to correct himself on that.
And clearly, the storm surge there was enough to potentially be life-threatening if people didn't take proper precautions. But I think most of the people did. And I think they probably really protected themselves and their families as a result.
Most definitely. Candy, I'm sorry. You said you looked like you wanted to say something. No. Oh,
okay. I was going to make a joke about okay. Stein. Are we the ones that are pronouncing it wrong, really?
No.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I'm trusting. But I will say this. Of all the things I saw online, the car flipping in the middle of the street that the guy was swearing a bunch with it, that was... Wow, that's something. But I think the most Florida video I saw all day yesterday was the guy riding the duck.
After sunrise, the damage...
Oh, sorry, that's not it. In Tampa.
Well, Zedalia made landfall this morning. Not everybody evacuated. Look at these two. In Tampa, they decided they didn't want to just sit out the storm. They went rafting instead on an inflatable rubber duck. It's not recommended activity when a Cat 3 storm is coming through, but the roads were empty because of the flooding. These two guys found a new way to get through morning rush hour.
Dude with a kayak paddle and a hat and a giant inflatable duck. And there was a guy like 20 feet away in the water up to his knees, so it wasn't like big raging river or anything. But you see that and you're like, salt life. 721 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Strength for Life listener, have you heard about our church's Awana program? Northstone Baptist Church here in Pensacola is once again hosting Awana Club for children 3 years old through the sixth grade. Awana is an internationally known Bible verse memory program in which children learn the Bible and play fun games in a safe environment. It's a great way for 3-year-olds through sixth graders to learn about the God who made them and hide His word in their heart. Registration is now open, so go to northstonebaptist.org and click on the Awana tab to register your child. Northstone is a thriving church located on the northwest corner of Pensacola, close to the intersection of Pine Forest and Nine Mile. Our Awana program starts the first Wednesday night in September and meets every Wednesday night throughout the school year. For more information about our Awana program or about Northstone Baptist Church, check us out at northstonebaptist.org or our Strength for Life ministry at strengthforlife.church.
Are you looking for your forever floors? We got them.
Hi, we're Buck and Ashley Deese, the proud owners of Deese Elite Concrete Coatings, where we make concrete pretty.
4 times stronger than epoxy with a lifetime warranty. Our coatings are perfect for your garage, patio, pool deck, and more.
For one day installation, trust the Deese Elite experience, now offering financing.
Get your forever floors by calling us today at 850-329-5599.
We make concrete pretty.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Flash! Ah!
Volleyball court. Corps in America's heartland. The University of Nebraska packing 92,003 fans into their football stadium for the women's volleyball match against Nebraska Omaha. That is a global attendance record for a women's sporting event. The Huskers got the three-set sweep over their cross-state rivals to move to 4-0 on the season.
That's interesting. See, I had only heard this as a volleyball story the first time when I watched it, when I cut the audio. I didn't quite catch the nuance there, but putting 92,000 people in the Nebraska football stadium in order to play volleyball, it is. They took the indoor stadium and they put it outside, and the women played volleyball and they won. Nebraska won against Nebraska Omaha, but 92,000 people, 300 I think is what she said, is an attendance record for any women's sporting event anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's wild. Can you imagine packing out a football stadium to watch a and by the way, volleyball is a perfect sport for that kind of a venue in the sense that, you know, the ball is big, it's vivid, you can see it. I just thought that was fascinating. 726 News Radio 92.3 Candy's got traffic for us.
It looks like the light, I think it's still broken. It's a red light that's flashing at 17th and Cervantes, and I see that it's backed up northbound on 17th and then eastbound on Cervantes. So just to give you an idea, and be careful, there's plenty of side streets maybe to choose from. This brought to you by Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. Don't get caught off the grid if a hurricane hits. Gulf Breeze Natural Gas, serving Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What did you say that light was doing?
Flashing?
Flash! Ah! Couldn't resist.
Near the Taco Bell. Da, da, da.
That should be your theme music anytime there's a flashing light.
That should be, absolutely, yeah.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Wayne!
Nice. Yeah.
I like it.
See? That's,
I'm going to use it as my theme song from now on.
Couldn't pick a better one.
There is significant damage throughout the Big Bend region after Idalia yesterday. That, according to the governor, he says there's a lot of debris to clean up, including at his governor's mansion.
Oh,
did
God,
you see that big tree that fell?
Yeah.
100-year-old oak tree, I believe it was.
Casey
fell right
and the
on
kids
the mansion.
Were inside at the time, but thank goodness they were fine. So, wow.
Absolutely. President Biden now says he plans to reach out to Mitch McConnell after the freeze moment.
While speaking to reporters, Biden called McConnell a friend and said he's going to try and get in touch with him. There are concerns about the 81-year-old Republican's health after he suddenly stopped speaking during a press event in Covington, Kentucky, Wednesday. McConnell had a similar freeze moment during a news conference at the U.S. Capitol in July. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Nothing to make him feel better than regaling him with the inspirational tale of corn pop, you know?
I just want people, this really was awful yesterday, and we saw the one back in July, but I'll play a little bit of it for you so you can hear the, this is about a 2-minute long off and on episode.
Senator, you're up for election in 3 short years. What are your thoughts on it?
Reporter asked, you're up for re-election in a couple years, and he's just frozen.
I'm sorry, I had a hard time hearing you.
That's okay. What are your thoughts on running for re-election in 2026?
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh. That's
And now we're on pause. It was, I mean, it's really sad to watch. Staffer jumps in.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yes, I heard. Can't talk.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute. Senator.
And this goes on. I mean, they kind of come next to him with another staffer and try to regroup. And he sort of mumbles through a couple of answers to other things in a minute, but it's... it's really concerning.
It really is.
You can't watch that and think that he's in good enough health to really be in office.
No, very bad. When you see the cognitive issues like that, and, you know, my grandma had Alzheimer's. You know, my dad has some dementia issues, and it's tough to watch when people start having those problems.
And it's so, you know, I don't know whether he's thinking fine and can't move his mouth or whether he's got cognitive impairment in addition to the, you know, the physiological impairment as well, but... it's hard to watch and you know, Dianne Feinstein went through this stuff, and I mean, I said it before, but I'll say it again. Like, if it were the president, we'd probably be talking about replacing the president. And Mitch McConnell's one of the most important people in the world, and this does not look like a man who can be functioning in office, at least not now, after the fall and the concussion and everything else that apparently is the backdrop. Sorry, you I interrupted. You were in the middle of your thing.
No, that's the last story I had. For
oh, all right.
So.
All right. Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do with him. David, thanks so much for the update. I don't know if he's going to, you know, temporarily suspend office. There's not really a provision for replacing somebody, you know, because, like, the president in incapacity, like, the president goes in for an operation. they're not capable of leading the country. So the vice president takes over temporarily, right? That's not that rare. I mean, it's happened a few times. You know, so you can have like temporary, right? You don't have to permanently remove somebody from office if you think they need recovery time. There's no provision like that for the Senate, right? You either are in or you're not. I mean, you might not attend meetings and things like that. So I don't know what we're going to do with, you know, what he's going to do or what's going to be done with him. Certainly our prayers for him and his family and for full recovery to the degree that that's possible. Dave will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
I'm Paul Stevens. Tropical storm Idalia moving out to sea, leaving plenty of damage behind. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis comparing the storm to last year's Hurricane Ian.
There were frantic calls to 911 because the water was rising in people's homes so quickly. We did not see those types of phone calls like we did in Hurricane Ian. And so I think it's a combination of the surge was a little bit more manageable. And I think it was a combination of people did heed the evacuation warnings.
Governor DeSantis on Fox's Hannity. President Biden asked about Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who for the second time in a few months froze yesterday in front of the news media.
Mitch is a friend, as you know, not a joke. We always, I know people don't believe that the case, but we have disagreements politically, but he's a good friend.
Mitch McConnell is 81. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 75 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Well, residents in the Big Bend area still out assessing damage today. The small town of Perry was one of the areas that was hardest hit by Idalia yesterday. Residents there say they're really just thankful that it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
It's scary. It's scary, but thank God. I hope there's no fatalities. I hadn't heard anything, but I hope there's no fatalities and nobody got hurt, and it's a blessing, you know, and I hope that everybody's okay. So I don't want to experience that again.
And that was John Phillips. He talked with Channel 3's Tanner Stewart yesterday, and by yesterday, of course, after the storm yesterday, there was a lot of electric outages statewide. Right now, we're still seeing about 145,000 people with no power across those affected areas of the state. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office is sending a strike team to the affected areas to help with recovery efforts. Sheriff Eric Aiden says they're going to Lake City, where they'll be helping to assess damage.
We're in the Gulf of Mexico here. We're oftentimes target of these hurricanes. We've had our share of luck, and we certainly hope that continues, but we're ready to help our partners, but they will be ready to stand with us in the event that we need it.
They're bringing some ATVs, Bobcats, trailers, and other rescue equipment as well, and they're expected to spend about 2 weeks deployed there helping out. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office has identified a 15-year-old girl as and charged her with first-degree murder after the death of her mother's fiancé yesterday.
Pulls out a handgun and shoots her mother, shoots at her mother, narrowly missing her, and also shoots at her mother's fiancé. Striking him.
And this was that shooting at the Essex Point apartment complex that we were discussing yesterday morning. The suspect, now identified as Sunshine James, and after the alleged shooting, deputies say James fled the apartment in her mother's car and tried to go to her boyfriend's house. She ended up being arrested on Rio Grande Circle. Former President Trump's copyright lawsuit against journalist Bob Woodward now being moved out of Pensacola. According to the News Journal, federal judge M. Casey Rogers ordered that case be moved to the Southern District of New York. They say filing the case in Pensacola was improper. The lawsuit seeks damages of about $50 million after interviews that Woodward did with Trump were released as an audiobook. An alleged drug dealer now indicted on murder charges after an overdose death of a man last January. A grand jury's indicted 38-year-old Quante Salithius Sanders on first-degree murder charges. Investigators say Sanders sold drugs to Christopher West, who ended up dying of an overdose last January. Escambia County in District 1 here in Northwest Florida has been identified as one of the deadliest parts of the state when it comes to drug overdoses. Three people were hurt in a shooting last night at the Oakstead Mobile Home Park on Massachusetts Avenue. Deputies say they were called to that scene about 7:45 last night when they got there. Investigators found one man with a gunshot wound to the arm. Two other victims had apparently already been taken to the hospital. Currently, there's no word on the condition of those victims. There's also no word on any possible suspects. 7:35, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. It looks like the light at 17th and Cervantes is clear now. Well, it's working, working properly, so that's good. You shouldn't have any problems through East Hill. Taking a look at 12th, 9th, it's also good. If you have a traffic tip, let us know. You can text it in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a beautiful day with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, 40% chance of rain with a high near 94. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. Friday, rain chances increase with an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
77 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Breaking news whenever it happens, on air and online. Get the latest at newsradio923.com or on our app, News Radio Pensacola. You can get that on your app store and be informed with breaking news alerts right on your phone. Your next news at 8. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. In 2021, environmentalists cheered oil major Shell, which released the world's biggest corporate commitment to offset its CO2 emissions. 2 years later, that ambitious plan has been quietly ended. It's the headline in a scathing new report from Bloomberg. At an investor event earlier this summer, Shell's chief executive reportedly pledged to double down on profit drivers like oil and gas. No mention of Shell's promise to neutralize emissions by 2050. Shein is the most Googled clothing brand in the world, and the fast fashion retailer wants to capitalize on its popularity with an IPO this year. But attorneys general from 16 states want the Singapore-based company to first prove it does not use forced labor. They're asking federal regulators to ensure Shein and other foreign companies are following U.S. law before being allowed to trade on American exchanges. On Wall Street, futures are higher as the market aims for a fifth straight day of gains. That's Your Money Now.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Pregnancy can be an exciting time, but for many moms, it can mean feeling anxious, depressed, confused, or overwhelmed. Either during pregnancy or after having your baby, you may not quite feel like yourself. If you're experiencing these feelings, you are not alone, and mental health issues can be treated. Talk with your OB or connect with a mental health provider in your area by visiting flbhimpact.org. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is at a public information officer conference, and so we have one of his co-workers, another public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon. Sergeant Sturgeon, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. So you and I actually talked a little bit this week. You and I don't talk all that much, but you were the person I was checking with you, I think, on Sunday about what was going on at the AMC Bayou 15 Theater. We had been there about an hour before all of the fracas began, but huge response from PPD. If I'm not mistaken, you probably had just about every active cruiser on scene. What happened?
Yeah, so AMC Theater on Bayou Boulevard, we got a call around 7:30 p.m. From a caller that was explaining that there was a very large gathering and disturbance in the parking lot of the theater. We got reports of fighting. We did respond. We did have large amount of response, especially once we realized the number of people who were there. It was approximately 300 youth gathered there. And we also requested some assistance from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office for some manpower assistance, being that it was such a large group. But there was a large disturbance and there was fighting, and it did unfortunately end up in some arrests. But it was National Cinema Day. That was probably and likely a contributing factor to the large abundance of people at the theater that day. But ultimately, the theater decided to close their business because of the incident that happened.
Yeah, and you know, I know that it was a bit of a fluid situation at the time, but you had at first told me that they closed the doors and weren't letting people in or out, and then at some point after that, they made the decision to just close down and evacuate the building, right? Which meant, I mean, I assume when they were evacuating the building, they're still, because I know from text, people were having to basically evacuate through the crowd that was still being dispersed. Is that right?
Right. I think first the concern was what was going on outside, and they didn't want it spilling in.
Yeah.
Once the threat, or the concern was kind of validated with a large amount of people, the business ultimately decided to just stop operation, have everybody exit, and just close the business because of the concern.
And so as a result of that, I think there were three juveniles that wound up being arrested. Did you ever determine what was the nature of what caused the fight, what led to all of this, or anything along those lines?
Not specifically. I don't know the specifics of what initiated the fighting, okay. But there was just multiple disagreements in the group. But these juveniles are very young. I mean, the arrests that we made were from 12 to 15 years old.
Oh.
And there were some misdemeanor and felony charges. Obviously a fray, the mutual fighting amongst individuals was obviously involved, but yeah, very young.
Felony charges.
So we had a battery on a law enforcement officer.
Oh, on a law enforcement officer, and is the cop okay?
Yes, doing good.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, a battery on a cop, that'll get you the felony. Okay, well, thank you so much for kind of clearing that up. Wow, that's awful. One of the things that we saw this week was that there's a grant that you guys are going to get. It's a port-related grant. We talked about this with the mayor yesterday, but this is going to give you the opportunity to purchase a mobile command center, the kind of thing I think, if I'm not mistaken, we see like the Escambia Sheriff's Office has one of these, but you didn't until now have one, and this is going to allow you to create one or have one. Is that right?
Right. So the command, the center that we utilize now, it's not up to date. It's we're outgrowing it. And this one is going to be up to date with the newest technology. It's going to have slide outs, working stations. It's going to serve dual purposes. It'll be more fit for the needs, and it'll also be able to be used, during critical incidents, but also by hopefully neighboring agencies or our affiliates, such as the fire department and, our units like the SWAT and the negotiations team, things like that. But, looking forward to the update of technology and the ability to use it amongst, utilizing with various agencies.
Okay. So it's meant to be multi-agency integration, sort of a integrated command concept. That makes good sense to me. I didn't catch that part of it from the mayor, so thank you for amplifying my understanding. You also have, do we have an update at all on the plumber's van that's been serving as a SWAT vehicle? We're working on getting the new one in, something that actually we should have had a long time ago, but any update on that?
Yeah, so it has been ordered. It was selected and ordered, and we're anticipating, hopefully, we more than likely will have that before we have the command center post. We're hoping to have that maybe with the armored vehicle by late this year, maybe early next year, and then with anticipation of maybe that mobile command center coming after that, maybe late next year.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good news. Yeah, that's pretty fast. I mean, I've gotten accustomed to everything these days that you order, like an ambulance or a fire truck, is just like 2 years. You know, you can't get them unless you buy one that's like a demo model or something like that. So that's good news that it's coming in so quick. We always like to end with some kind of a cop myth or a did you know? And this is one I guess I kind of heard, but I didn't realize people were serious about this. Do people ever think 911 is the thing you call for to get information?
Oh, yeah, or just even to give information. So obviously, not, you know, emergency information, that's one thing. But, the, you know, there's this notion that 911, you know, is a, you know, a line to be able to just pass on non-emergency information. So what people may not know is that there are non-emergency lines unique to agencies or local agencies surrounding them. And the difference is that on a non-emergency line, a call taker is going to, you know, receive that information and decide whether that needs to be passed along to dispatch or maybe to an investigative division, something like that, or just maybe followed up with. However, you know, a 911 call is answered by a dispatcher. The dispatchers are specifically trained to answer those emergency calls. So whenever someone calls a 911 line in an emergency line, you're taking up a dispatcher who then is preoccupied to maybe not be able to immediately take an actual emergency call. So I think people just don't know that there's difference between a call taker and a dispatcher and what those lines are designed for. And maybe knowing ahead of time what your local non-emergency line is for your police department. You know, it's a helpful thing.
And by the way, I mean, look, I have started this practice as far back as when we lived in Illinois, but everywhere I've ever lived, I've always, like, kind of first thing I'll do is I'll go look up the non-emergency line for Escambia County Sheriff, FHP, Santa Rosa County Sheriff, PPD, Gulf Breeze, and those are all in my phone. That way, if I see something in a locale where I know, you know, I don't need to call an emergency number, but I need to tell somebody, that's all in my phone. And, you know, I always put them under police and then the agency. So all I have to do is look for the P's to find what I need. But yeah, absolutely. That's good advice for people. And please don't call 911 for that kind of stuff. Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon, she is a public information officer with the Pensacola Police Department. Brittany, thanks so much for the time this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, I always appreciate you. Take care.
You bet. 747 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for you.
Good news is we're not showing many of those slowdowns or delays right now. The light at 17th and Cervantes is now cleared, so are working in proper order. As is everything else, we're not showing any other slowdowns. Usual areas of congestion, you know, around lights at schools and stuff. Berry Hill, Dogwood, Hamilton Bridge Road, taking a look in Milton, all clear. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home and you just want to make sure that you get the best realtor possible who's going to take care of you, you know, Christina Leavenworth is fantastic. I hear rave reviews about her, read the reviews online. They're outstanding. And they just kind of confirm all the things that I know from talking to her and knowing her as long as we've lived here, that she's just very organized, very passionate, very friendly, willing to help person. And she knows her stuff. Like, she is an expert about real estate. 230 plus homes sold last year. That's amazing. She was on pace to even break that maybe this year, which is kind of a hard thing to understand. But, you know, she just loves meeting people, helping them get their real estate deals done, and knowing that she was a blessing to them in their life. And that's what you want. Somebody who's just a kind of a passionate nerd about the subject when you want to hire somebody with a professional service like this. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. 723-9158.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Floridians can stack uninsured motorist coverage? If you have three vehicles with $25,000 stacking UM, that equates to $75,000 in total coverage. Therefore, always choose stacking coverage if you have more than one vehicle in your household.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
It's a celebration. Join us for the Impact 100 20th Anniversary Celebration on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Brownsville Community Center. This event is a celebration to honor two decades of empowering women and transforming lives in our community. Sponsored by Jeff Burgosh, County Commissioner, the Bear Family Foundation, Merrill Lynch, Synovus Bank, and Bodacious. Limited tickets are available, so visit impact100pensacola.org to buy your ticket today.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If the good Lord had intended us to walk, he wouldn't have invented roller skates.
All through the night, I'll be awake and I'll be with you. All through the night.
She really does have just a fantastic voice.
Oh my God, the range on Cyndi Lauper.
And I know, like, she always was kind of like the weird-looking kid, you know, in the 80s, and so people kind of maybe perceived that, and she's a little eccentric, let's just say.
She ruined me. Okay, because she was wrestling and all that, I had wrestling sneakers,
oh, did you?
I had my hair, I had a tic-tac-toe shaved in my head. I was voted best dressed in the 8th grade, worst dressed in 9th grade.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Thanks, Cyndi.
Thanks, Cyndi, you ruined me forever. But talk about beautiful a voice. Lady. Oh, my goodness. 751 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let's see, Dave Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Food and Drug Administration is sending warning letters to several baby formula manufacturers. Yesterday, the agency announced FDA inspections had found safety violations at ByHeart, Mead Johnson Nutrition, and at Perrigo, Wisconsin. All three baby formula manufacturers were sent warning letters mandating they do some extensive cleaning and sanitation. The University of Nebraska women's volleyball team apparently set a world record. A total of 92,003 fans went to see the Huskers take down Omaha in Memorial Stadium on Wednesday. The former record was 91,648 fans, and that was set in 2022 when the FC Barcelona women's soccer team played Wolfsburg in Barcelona, Spain.
See, that's what I figured, is I figured that the prior record was likely a soccer match. That's what it seemed like to me. You know, 92,000 is a huge, 'cause they had them play volleyball in the football stadium. Which is amazing. I mean, it's a great idea. And you got to figure they did it as a, hey, let's break the record, right? That was
absolutely,
a targeted
yeah.
goal. So outstanding. Was that it, David?
And it's football season. Week one of college football season is here. The Gators going to be playing Salt Lake City. I believe that is tonight.
Gators play tonight? It's not Saturday?
The Gators are in. So it says... Today's the 31st, right?
Yeah,
it says sure. The Gators are in Salt Lake City squaring off against Utah tonight.
Okay, Argos play tomorrow, so it's the whiteout game, whatever. So there you go. I like to hear that. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3. So the Army, in an advertising push, has updated its slogan again. They have been through a lot of slogans, and they were not all genius. I would say they're not all fantastic, but they are on to something now that I think is probably going to work for them, because we know that it has worked before. Their new old slogan.
All that you can, all that you can be.
Hey, First Sergeant. Good morning.
Find your future in the Army.
Yeah, they're going back to be all you can be. They had gone through a range of slogans over the years. The first slogan ever for the Army was, I want you for U.S. Army, World War I, Uncle Sam. Choice, not chance, and then modern Army green in the 50s through the 70s. Today's Army wants you, and today's Army wants to join you, or join the people who've joined the Army, and this is the Army, all in the 70s. And then in the 80s was when you had that classic, the Be All You Can Be, with the music, of course, which, I mean, don't you remember these ads? I know I do. My goodness. Not just the slogan, but...
A Ranger never takes the easy way out.
You're reaching deep inside you.
I remember these.
For things
so
you've never known.
No! That's why getting
this.
Into the
you
Rangers is tough.
Oh, yeah.
Your training is tough. So it makes me feel like I'm part of something really special.
Be all that you can be.
and I'm not the only one.
You can do it in the Army.
Now, I like the longer one in the Army. That's the one I know, but still, that's I can see those videos. And so they had that from 1980 until 2001. I don't know why they ever changed. It was Army of One, 5 years. Army Strong, that actually lasted about 12 years. And then Warriors Wanted and What's Your Warrior from 18 to 23. And now they're back to Be All You Can Be. Although the new ads don't have the slogan in them. They just show it. They don't have the song, the theme song. I think they should use the theme song. I mean, they awarded the guy who wrote that, got a Outstanding Civilian Service Award from Jimmy Carter. No, sorry, not from Jimmy Carter. In 2003, that would have been President Bush.
Right.
The Army awarded, the guy's name was Ian J. Carter, so Earl Carter, pen name Ian J., for an advertising agency who invented that back in the day.
Oh, very nice.
You think he got paid appropriately for how many times that aired?
Probably not.
I would think no. Probably not. But did a service to the country because I'm sure
Absolutely.
That was effective at recruiting. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, and I think what they're thinking now is with recruiting down across the services, except for the Marines, anything will help, you know, and maybe a return to a familiar slogan, although probably not one that a lot of these kids today who are, you know, 23 or well, let's see, if you were born in 2001 was the last year they used it, so you'd be 22. Probably not. Probably not enlisting.
That's not true.
Oh, no, that is true. Oh, by the way, since we're in this vicinity, can you do traffic? And then I got a story to tell you. You'll laugh about this. It'll be painful.
The best?
Trust me.
Stalled car blocking the right lane. This is on Fairfield Drive. It's eastbound just past the railroad trestle near Hollywood Avenue. And thank you for texting that in. If you have a traffic tip, let us know. You can text it in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Go on with the pain.
Yeah. So the other day I'm listening to the radio with my wife and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
1999.
There you
Prince.
Go. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Love it. And then I start to thinking, and I'm like, man, 1999, that came out 24 years ago. And then I was like, oh, wait, this did not come out in 1999.
Oh, my God. No,
this
it came
out in 92, I think.
It wasn't 92. It was in the 80s.
It was 82, excuse me. 82.
Yeah.
So not 24 years ago, but 41 years ago.
No, that's not right.
I think I looked it up, right? When did Purple Rain release?
That's accurate.
I think that's right. Is it 82? I can't.
So we're celebrating the 41st.
No, it's 80, it was 84. It's 84. So it's only 39 years.
Right before Purple Rain.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you know how you like you feel old and then you realize... Even older than that. That was one of those.
Yeah, you know how you realize you have those friends that always make you feel worse?
Yeah.
This is one of them times.
I'm good at that. Yeah,
Andrew is your friend, y'all.
I can do it. 437-1620. 437-1620. The justices are going to, the Supreme Court is going to take up our social media law. The one that said, you know, the DeSantis and the Republicans passed 2 years ago. I think. Anyway, the one that prohibits them from
1982.
It prohibits them from banning politicians, you know, and requires you to like explain your reasons why anybody is, you know, being censored or delisted or whatever. So, you know, the social media companies argue that that is an infringement of speech, that they're actually doing the thing that they are saying, you know, that the company is doing. Anyway, so the Supreme Court is going to not take it up, but they're going to consider it in their conference. That's the meeting where they talk about the cases that have been sent to them to decide which ones they're actually going to hear. So no guarantee they're actually going to hear it, but that is one of the cases that they're going to at least consider taking up. Meanwhile, Gulf Breeze is now suing Skanska for gross negligence and intentional misconduct related to Hurricane Sally, and a little late to this party compared to some others, but certainly the effects were significant, and that it would be filed here locally, you know, So, you know, I think Skanska would probably try to change venue. Why would they want to change venue and not have a jury heard here?
Pick me. I got one.
You think about this. Like, what's the one thing that everybody tries to always get out of? Jury duty. What's the one trial that everybody would want to be on?
Pick
that
us.
One.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case.
Tribute.
We'll be back in a minute.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.